I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy. It's hour two of the nation. And we have John Machota coming up at 5 o'clock from The Athletic. He was at mini camp. We have Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. Brian is back in the building with us now after watching practice.
John was watching with me, so we were kind of standing there together. Me, John, and Archer. We're all working.
Archer. Texas come in to say Slow Bone is legit and check out their fried chicken. Okay, so a little follow-up on this epic England fan who's giving his reviews of what North Texas has to offer in the way of food and bevy. Here's Woolchuck with your mixed bag.
All right, let's do it. Let's shake it up, and let's hit our mixed bag now.
You want a chocolate? Mama.
Mama. Leave the glass.
Mama.
Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in a bag.
You never know what you're going to get.
Woo! We've got the New York Knicks parade tomorrow. How wild is this going to be?
What time does it start?
That's a great question.
They're giving people
10 a.m.
in the morning, 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Eastern.
Eastern? Okay, so 9 a.m. Our time.
So they're not letting people get all liquored up.
My cousin said it's camping out, bro.
Okay, yeah. Then they're getting liquored up.
So we've got people camping out. We've also got fans that are dropping hundreds of dollars to other fans to save them spots.
That's going
to
get sketchy,
at the parade.
Dude. I know.
I don't know
that you could trust that.
I think this is going to ignite a lot of fights.
Yeah, like, sorry, that spot's saved.
I mean, I remember, you know, when we were out there, and we were so lucky and blessed for the Rangers parade to be out there with great spots.
We were
spots.
Right in the middle of it.
But we went out there, and we, like, all broke off during, you know, the trucks driving around.
Right, right.
And so we took a corner, and we were doing live call-ins, and on the way back to our broadcast location, like, fans were not having it. They thought you were trying to, like, cut in and take their spot, and it's like, no, I'm just trying to get back to our broadcast
credential
location
media
to do a show. Please, please. But I thought, I mean, it got a little treacherous trying to fight through that sea of people. I can't imagine what it's going to be like in New York.
I can understand them not thinking that you were a professional with just how sloppy hammered you were at that point.
There's no way
this guy
I just
is
saw
a
him
professional.
Out of a
we needed
a
drunk
margaritas
to start the game. I didn't start drinking until about 9:40.
Oh, no. I walked up because I got there a little bit before you did. And we had, you know, those same fans that gave us the beers.
Yeah.
Before you
had
got there.
They had the G-Bag Nation flag.
Yeah,
I went
before you got
them
there, they had the little tiny, like, airplane bottles of liquor.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was chugging Tito's with them. So we've polished off the Tito's and then went into the beers.
Yeah.
So it started very early.
I'm 9:40. They handed me a Shiner, and from that point on, I didn't stop drinking until 6.
It was unbelievable.
And we ran out of beer.
I know.
We ran out of beer.
You gave that guy a big victory hug at the end.
It was very Scottish of me. William Wallace.
Speaking of the Scots, let's go over to the World Cup very quickly here. How about the Scottish fans? They have a tradition where they donate to local charity groups, and they have raised over $30,000 to Providence Charities amid their World Cup group stage. So it's the Tartan Army.
Oh, wow.
And they went, you know, they were playing in Boston.
Boston.
So they pick, like, a local charity organization, and the Hasbro's Children's Hospital Cancer Unit that will be presented during a Tartan Army Downtown March and Music Festival, which will take place tomorrow. One of the biggest donations they've already gotten was $10,000. So far, it was up to $30,000 just from the Scottish fans. But we'll see if they're able to raise more ahead of the march tomorrow. But that's, like, part of the beauty of the World Cup. You know, the world uniting, people helping people, and that's an amazing thing. Some of the bad stuff when it comes to the World Cup.
Scams.
Their kilts?
Yeah.
Oh.
You think those kilts are just disgustingly stinky?
Yeah.
Well,
I just think I think
my skilt.
I wouldn't venture into public with it. I'd be like, this is our traditional gear. Sometimes we wear it at Christmas. Family events, but
special occasion.
I'm not rolling out in a skirt being like, we're doing it better.
You got to wear some dungarees under there, right?
For sure.
But
dude,
don't
you're
you
kind of
feel like,
in
though,
the
in hot conditions, like the kilt would be good because it would be
breezy.
You're not wearing it breezy in there?
No, because it's an extra layer. Like, you're definitely wearing some kind of...
I don't think they are.
Is it woolen? Is
I don't
leather?
Think they're. I don't think they're wearing anything under the kilt.
No, they're free balling the kilt.
Yeah,
I think they're real
There's
Scots.
There's no way you're free balling the kilt.
Yeah, they are.
You're in for a rude awakening, my friend. Those balls are free.
We need to reach out to our guys overseas. They'll tell us.
There's some checks.
There is 0% chance they are free balling at Fenway Park right now.
Yeah, they will.
In their skirts.
Yes. Yes.
They're kilts, Eric. Yeah.
I'm sure somebody in Texas is going to educate us here.
Goodness, they're
they're going to tear me up here in just a second.
Me,
I think they know I'm right. I'm going all in with no one goes free ball in public with their kilt on.
Well, let me tell you something right now. One of my brews.
I think that actually the king. I think the king free balls it while he's
again not in public though. Yeah, he's sitting on his throne. Yeah. Okay,
with his tush to the seat, he's going cheek to seat.
Yeah, you're not doing that on the bleachers at Fenway.
We have numerous World Cup fans who claim they bought tickets on FIFA's website and that they were scammed out of hundreds of dollars. One of the World Cup fans told African News that he spent more than $1,400 on tickets for his wife and two daughters. He and other fans are now claiming they were given match information and seat assignments, but they never received the barcode required to enter the stadium. So when they show up, it doesn't work, and now they're being turned away. So several fans had no idea they didn't have tickets until they arrived at the stadium.
All right.
This is a problem.
Did a little research. Sorry. That's terrible news.
Just,
is this StubHub to blame?
Yeah, StubHub right now is a culprit here. Named in
So the official FIFA platform that you can buy tickets from isn't at fault here. It's a third party.
Yeah, I believe it's ultimately
because I've heard the scams are running rampant on the third parties.
Yeah, I think ultimately it does go back to the third party.
That's
StubHub was named via African News.
All right, here we go. Short answer, traditionally no, on nothing is worn under the kilt.
My gosh.
Long answer, depends on the person, the setting, and the style of kilt.
So we were 100% wear something under our kilts.
Some kilts.
Classic Highland saying is, a true Scotsman wears nothing under his kilt.
Mm.
That was especially true for the military pipe bands and formal Highland dress.
972, 100% free ball anytime I have my kilt on. 903, Irish and Scotch just simply don't care. 469, Giafalo has obviously never been to the North Texas Irish Festival.
That sounds like a blast.
That'll make you looking under skirts.
Right.
I've been there, but I ain't looking under skirts.
Thank you. You could still walk out of there not knowing.
Been to the Irish Festival. Shame on you.
Yeah, I was just laying down horizontal on my back the whole time.
What are we talking about, bro?
Just walk right over me.
Oh, we got to see how vascular
we got an early
was.
Penalty kick here for England.
Ooh, Harry Kane's taking this in the 9th minute. This is quite the moment here in the FIFA World Cup at Dallas Stadium.
469, my best friend lives in a kilt. He's always free balling.
I think it'd be kind of cool to do this to all rock the G-bag kilts.
682, I'm Scottish and Mexican, and indeed free ball with the kilt on and my sombrero on my head.
Can't thank you guys enough for chiming in. Really
I do appreciate that.
Harry Kane misses.
But then the 214 says the material's too coarse not to wear underwear.
Yeah, I think the Americans, we probably would do that. If we're going ahead and wearing a kilt, we're probably going to put something under it. But the traditional Scots, they're not.
He's about to bury this, isn't he?
He might be. I'm not sure how good Croatia's goaltender is.
Oh,
save! Wow.
What a moment.
Wait, do we have a controversy? We come off the line early?
No, it's just a corner kick.
We're going to go to VAR to see if he... That was a badly placed ball.
He stuttered. He stuttered on
Did
the approach.
I stutter?
He stuttered on the approach.
Oh, it looks like the official is listening
to... Yeah, they're thinking maybe he came off the line.
I think they're going to check it. They're going to check it via VAR.
Oh, here we go. We're about to get the box. Boom.
All right, let's go ahead and watch this. While we watch this, ESPN's Jeremy Wu has put out... Do you remember who was it that said that Cooper Flagg wouldn't have even been taken in like the top six picks?
I think that was Jamal Mashburn.
Oh, he did come off the line.
I think Jamal Mashburn.
So Jamal Mashburn, he was a little bit earlier here. This is probably going to be a re-kick. He is ranked of the top 2025 and 2026 NBA draft prospects. Who would go number one? And it is indeed
Dylan Harper.
Cooper Flagg that goes number one overall in a redraft between the two.
Does Dylan Harper not change the math on this a little bit?
No. Do you
not
think Dylan Harper's better than Cooper Flagg?
I'm just asking the question.
I like you did.
Well, it sounds like you might.
It sounds like you
Which,
think
I
that
mean,
way.
Somebody just else see, had a hot take like this, and I think that was up for like worst take of the week. I think Dylan Harper's really good. I don't think he's ever going to be a one on his own team. Cooper Flagg clearly is a one, but Harper goes five.
Harper's damn good, though. Let's not act like he's not.
No, 100%, but I don't think he's better than Cooper Flagg. But Harper goes five in this.
There you go.
It goes Flagg one. It goes A.J. DeBonsa two. Darren Peterson of Kansas, three. Cameron Boozer, four. Dylan Harper, five. Now, I think I would probably go Harper over Boozer, 100%.
I don't know how you don't go Harper over every Patterson. One of those guys except for Flagg. After what you just saw Dylan Harper do, how can, unless this is just based on when they were being drafted and we're going back into our thoughts of the players when they were being drafted, but after seeing what Dylan Harper was just able to do throughout the playoff run and in the finals, it's kind of hard to imagine he wouldn't be at least number two.
Yeah, I mean, they rewinded to how we felt a year ago, but it's not to say like A.J. DeBonsa is not going to come out and be a star, or I mean, Darren Peterson, the same thing. I would definitely put Harper over Peterson just because you have questions about like how much does this guy really want it right now. You don't have those questions with Dylan Harper. Caleb Wilson at six, V.J. Edgecombe, who had an outstanding rookie season from Baylor with the Sixers, at seven. Ace Bailey was eight, Keaton Wagler with nine, and then Konkan Nipple, who was rivaling Cooper Flagg.
He was 10th?
He was 10.
Jeez, what a draft.
So that goes to show you just how deep and how talented this draft is. In fact, in the latest mock draft, the Morning News has the Mavericks taking Braden Burris out of Arizona. That's our Mavs insider, Mike Curtis. With Brown unavailable, Mykael Brown from Louisville, the Mavs could resort to a combo guard who could be a nice fit next to Flagg. The AP does have Mykael Brown Jr. from Louisville falling to the pick there. That's their mock. But otherwise, Braden Burris seems to be the consensus
Arizona,
guy.
Right?
Arizona. And has the best chance to pull
the nine.
My gang
of two like him a lot.
The other one, the Mavs have visited with Kingston Flemings, the Houston guard. USA Today had the Mavs mocking him going there. And I like Kingston Flemings. I think he's a good two-way player.
Arkansas?
I just don't. I
out
don't.
Of Houston?
Is it Houston. The guy, size. I knew it was a red and white.
He is smaller.
It's the size, man.
Acuff small. And there's been rumors that the Mavs are interested if they can move up to get Darius Acuff.
Well, maybe the Brunson run changes people's minds a little
you're
bit.
Right. But you're right. I mean, I agree with you. Like, Brown's a bigger guard. Burris, I think, is more of a two compared to a one from just my limited assessment on him. I'm not going to act like I'm some expert when it comes to the NBA draft.
Is Burris a defender?
Yes.
I think he's a 3D wing.
That's the one thing. When I was talking to my guys, they're like, listen, you like this guy. He defends. He shoots well. He's tough. He's like, they're talking complete package guy.
He's got a complete package. Shout out to the Scots. Mm. All right, 1-0. England up on Croatia's Harry Kane buries. He's not going to, you can't give him a second try. He's going to make that.
Well, he didn't hesitate this time.
Let's go to Ron Slavin, who is the agent of Brendan Sorsby, on this morning. Very interesting interview. I thought the guys asked some great questions. They did a great job. And here was Slavin. This will be cut three on what are some of the details that maybe people don't really know about the Sorsby case.
You know, you have to be careful of some things just because of all the people involved. And the people I feel worst for besides Brendan is Texas Tech. And I know they might have, you know, I think where they messed up was they talked too much. Nobody knew any of this about Brendan. Nobody knew when he was in the portal this was happening. I mean, Brendan probably should have gone in the draft in January, right? If we would have known, but nobody knew. So the people at Tech have been great, very supportive. Joy McGuire, I think, is one of the best human beings on the planet. He's a lot of head coaches are transactional. He is not. And they didn't do anything wrong here. If anybody should be questioned or be catching heat, it should be Cincinnati, because they knew for 2 years and never said anything and didn't do anything about it. So that's the part of the story that gets lost. And again, it's like, this is a 22-year-old kid who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. He's had two girlfriends his entire life. He's at church every Sunday. He's a great human being. I guess his biggest fault might be he's too giving.
There you go.
I say that, you know, is involved with some of his friends and the predatory world of gambling, where you turn 18 and, you know, deposit $5, you get a free 100. And every single show on TV and every single radio show, everything is sponsored by a gambling site. So it's a scary world we're living in. And we, you know, these kids have all been raised now with phones in their hands. So it's real easy to get on an app and place a bet. So there's so much more to it, and it'll come out. But what we're focused on now is the next 3 weeks, where Brendan can get ready and work out for these teams. And they're on a lot of guys that are 6'3", 235 pounds, who run 4'4", and can throw it like Brett Favre walking around. So there's going to be some high interest in Brendan when the supplemental draft happens.
All right.
All 32 NFL teams expected to attend Brendan Sorsby's Pro Day for Pete Thamel July 10th. Well, and South Lake,
yeah.
Going to be there?
Well, I think so. It's the same
day. Still allowed back on that campus?
It's
after South that Lake. One thing?
You know what? The South Lake Carroll, that's where the workout is, right?
My client is a generous, good Samaritan.
He's too caring.
If anything, he's just too giving.
That is great, bro.
Yeah, he felt like the sports books could really use his money.
Yes, he's just too giving, and he's a little bit naive.
He's too giving for losing.
Shout out to Ron Slavin.
He treated that app like the offering plate, man.
Yes, that's his agent, and there were certainly some eye roll things that he said there. But he's doing his best. But the Cincinnati, him pointing out, his agent pointing out, Cincinnati knew for 2 years, didn't say anything. I mean, that's pretty much been what Lubbock and Texas Tech's been trying to say. We talked to Ari about that. Ari's like, I don't know. Cincinnati's got to, there's got to be some more punishment here for them.
Oh, absolutely.
Screw it, Cincinnati.
Yeah, they hit it. You know, they victimized Tech.
Well, how about Indiana?
And they're in the same conference.
I don't think Indiana knew.
He was betting on Indiana football, wasn't he?
Yeah, but then he went to Cincinnati, continued to do it, and actually played for 2 years at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's the one that he pointed out that knew. I don't know if Indiana knew. If they did, then yeah, they should as well. Tech now 11 in the preseason top 25 without Brendan Sorsby, just outside of the top 10. Your LSU Tigers are at 10 there, Brian.
Good point by the 3-2-1. Rules are rules, Wolchuk.
Somebody say Brett. Oh, yeah, Ron did. Gosh dang it. He said it a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Mama, give me 8 of them flop checks, and Mama, take away 5 of them flop checks. Want to stay hungry. Crimson Tide.
The shocking nugget I unearthed on the Rams last night and what it means for the Cowboys is coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast, chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
105.3 The Fan. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. As England leads Croatia 1-0, 27th minute, I guess they're getting ready for a hydration break if they haven't taken it already. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, first item of business here in your Cowboys news. And the shocking nugget I unearthed on the Rams last night. They have the most expensive offense of all time, $17 million more than the second-place team, $41 million more than any team last year. Stafford's cap hit is $48 million. That's the biggest cap hit for any quarterback. They added McDuffie, Watson, and Myles Garrett, three of the best defensive players who switched teams in 2026, two of the best defensive players in the entire league. And I say all that to say, you know, that's how you win a championship right there. Rams are showing you how it's done. And as optimistic as it is to see some of these things playing out in practice, as much as I like hearing Christian Parker and Clayton Adams say, hey, you know, and Shoddy making the goal of the Super Bowl, you're going to have a year where one of your NFC rivals isn't doing this. There are, what, three teams in the NFC? Two teams in the NFC? The Eagles and Rams, maybe the 49ers. Mm-hmm. I think the Seahawks and your guy John Schneider are a little bit different case. They're like coaching and scouting and team building better without really manipulating the salary cap to the extent of what the Rams and the Eagles are doing.
The Bucks. The Bucks have done this too.
Yeah. The Bucks have been a team that has done that.
They really went all in around Tom Brady.
They did. Yeah.
You know, the Saints used to with Sean Payton. But you're going to have a year like this lineup where everything the Cowboys are doing is heading in the right direction, and it's going to be a year where a team with significant flaws gets it done. Right now, I don't know what you guys would think about a Rams Cowboys matchup in the playoffs, but that seems like an 8-point spread, something like that to me.
Well, we can go look at what their regular season spread is. I think it's Rams by at least 5.5. I'll take a look.
So are you with me on that? Whatever optimism you have about the Cowboys' success in 2026, it's probably tempered by the fact that your front office and your ownership group are getting kind of worked when it comes to the commitment that it takes when it comes to team building. They haven't won bleep, Gavin, says the 469. Who are you talking about? The Rams?
Probably.
I mean, they won one 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And now they're back with a completely different team other than Matthew Stafford again.
NFC Championship game last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were very close to winning it.
So I'm just waiting for somebody at the Cowboys, and this is what got me excited when it came to bust the budget. So, there are 11 of the top 100 left from NFL.com's list of free agency, and I think several of these guys could help the Cowboys. And if your GM was Les Snead and your owner was Kroenke, they would look at this roster along with Sean McVay, Brian Schottenheimer. I think Schottie's great, and they would say, guys, we have some very significant shortcomings here. You know, if we're going to be serious about the things that you're saying up there at the press conference, we need players. I guess nobody has flopped at minicamp yet, and their crew of young players might all show up in Oxnard and be like, hey, we're here and we're going to be amazing. But, I mean, there's three good edge players, Clowney, Kyle Van Noy, Joey Bosa. Agree with Wolchuk on this one. Seems like a Cowboy type of move. Go get one of those guys.
And Von Miller, right?
Yeah, and Von Miller. You're depending on Lawrence Ezeraku, Sam Williams?
Gary.
Yeah, I mean, and Rashawn Gary's a nice player. I would say a real contender would have like three Rashawn Gary's.
Right.
At least two Rashawn Gary's.
I mean, you kind of saw, to your point last year with Seattle. You know, it's all about having that rotation and keeping these guys healthy. And I like Malachi Lawrence a lot. I do think it's probably unfair to expect him to have a giant role as a rookie. If he doesn't, then hell yes. But going into the season, I think you're right with the premise that like these real contending teams are probably going to have their roster good enough to where they could ease a player like that in.
And I hope over this summer, like they're looking at this portion of free agency and saying, we can add significant players here, and this is going to be our version of busting the budget or our version of going all in. And you could do some serious work. But yes, to your point, if your idea is going to be, we're going to let Micah Parsons go because we're going to win with quantity, we're going to have like five pass rushers who are a 6.5 out of 10, then you need to go get a couple of more of those kinds of guys, especially on the edge. You have Taylor Decker, market value $20 million. You'd have to void years. Obviously, you only have $13 million in cap space. You have Darren Waller, was very good at scoring touchdowns last year, was sufficient helping pass protection, not that great of a run blocker from what I can tell, but Span Ford should give you enough of that. They don't need a wide receiver, but Debo and Stephon Diggs are out there still. I don't want to make a case that they should be going after those guys because I love what they have at wide receiver, but those were the other two of the 11 free agents on NFL.com's top 100 list. So, you know, this goes to, as Oxnard approaches, how much you can allow yourself to buy in, Brian?
I very much interested in buying in. But I was interested in buying in, and I do appreciate what you did to try and walk me through the tackle thing. I think there's questions there. I think there's questions, you know, about the edge. It looks like to me, just watching practice, that they're thinking that they're going to do a lot more with Lawrence at that right end spot. You know, I know Ezeraku, when we get into it here in a little bit, from my eyes from the camp. But yeah, it looks like to me that they really, really do want to see what they have from Lawrence to be that guy. I just personally feel like the linebacker's the spot. I feel like that's the spot where
Wagner
I would look.
And Okereke. Yeah.
Because they're looking at this right now is they're it's the Mike linebacker keeps getting switched out. You know, it's the rotation's not on the other side.
Yeah.
It's on at Mike linebacker. And I don't know really how much confidence they have. You know, we're seeing a little bit more with James. He gets some opportunity, though, but Barham has got a lot of opportunity today to be that guy. So maybe they don't feel as bad about the Mike linebacker position as I do.
I mean, Mike linebacker, tackle, corner, edge. It's like, are we really trying to talk ourselves into this team being as good as the Rams? And before they went and got Myles Garrett.
Yeah. But they're not as good as the Rams.
No, they're on another tier.
Yeah, they're not. The Rams is a great way to try and build your team.
Yeah,
because you're absolutely right. That the commitment that they made, the trades or the signings that they made,
That, go big.
Go big.
Yeah.
Go big.
Otherwise, you got to wait until, like, the Knicks just won a championship. Hey, great. They knocked out the Thunder for you. You didn't have to beat any teams that would have won a single series in this NBA 15 years ago.
Yeah,
great. You won a championship. Right. Can that happen to the Cowboys? Why not?
We can hope.
Yeah. I mean, it can, but it won't be this year. And 3 or 4 years ago, when I messed up and said the only way you're going to win the NFC this year is if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt, the same thing applies. You know, can you get Matthew Stafford to not be amazing at 37 years old or whatever he is in one way or another? I mean, Aaron Donald might come back and just make it that much more of a ridiculous idea. So please, Cowboys, prove to me that you're not just running this thing like a business, like you actually believe you could win the Super Bowl. But I'm going to need to see quite a few new players, I think, coming in. It's kind of pipe dreamy for all of these young players to be good enough. Like, even Revel by himself, that would be like an amazing discovery at training camp. Holy cow, we got this guy in Revel who's a great corner. But you're hoping that happens at edge, and role player linebackers can be starters and do a great job. Like, if I'm shoddy right now, I'm like, man, we're up here kind of parroting the Joneses' perspective. I need more honesty to the Joneses. I don't need enabling the Joneses with my coordinators coming up here and spinning pipe dreams that we're contenders. You can look at the rosters yourself. There's probably a 3 or 4 player gap as far as the good players the real contenders have compared to you. I think I got them at 8 or 9. You got to get to 12 or 13. Todd Archer writing the headline for ESPN. Some good stuff in here that hasn't been reported yet. But he's asking what Cowboys can expect from Brian Schottenheimer in year 2. Apparently, Shotty had dinner with like 40 players, which is pretty cool. I guess he likes to take them out to dinner. Maybe even misses Schottenheimer's along for the ride and hits him with a challenging question.
Oh, what a goal!
We got an equalizer. It's
1-1,
36 minutes.
You made a good point, Dawson, though, about Mrs. Schottenheimer being part of it, though.
Is that,
I was listening.
Okay, all right, thank you.
It was just a lightning bolt from outside the 18-yard line.
Did our guy Moussa get it?
Dang.
Who got it?
I don't think it was Moussa.
It was a shot, though. It was a lightning bolt. Let's see, replay coming up.
Okay, from, cutback. Oh, with a drop-off into the, okay, all right, little deflection. Into the far side netting.
Lightning bolt.
Martin Batarina.
It's 1-1.
Second.
All right. Shoddy, you can read it from Archer. We got to run. We got Krusty's Corners coming up next. Brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Where are you taking it, dude?
Yeah, I tell you what. It's day 2. I'm your eyes at OTAs. We'll do that.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
That next.
Croatia must be asking themselves right now, how do we lose Harry Kane in the box on a corner kick? And of course, he headed it in for the 2-1 lead. England leads Croatia 2-1. Now in the 44th minute as halftime approaches, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Appreciate you always playing that. Lucius, are you laughing at the same thing I am?
I thought it was AI Broadus playing through one of my computers, but that was actually you talking in the mic while I was doing a read.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was laughing at. I was like, man, AI Broadus? Because Bobby did send me some new AI Broadus.
Yeah, that's what I learned today at practice, that I thought you were laughing at the fact that Zach was like blowing his nose with it looked like a sheet of notebook paper.
That's just one of these
college rule
paper napkins that we've got.
Over I thought he had some like copy paper. He's like,
blowing that thing out in MLA format.
Like, I was like, man, I wonder if I can get this guy some Kleenex.
Yeah, it was a desperate moment.
It was a desperate moment?
It was.
All right.
So Broadus said his thing on the air that he didn't want to be on the air.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to talk over it.
I was
wanting
to go ahead and give him that score update.
Yeah, I was trying to talk over it, man.
Oh, no. Did I have my mic on?
Hell yeah.
You sure did.
Yeah. Full throated, too, bro.
It usually goes off. Usually the microphone goes off.
Goes off.
What happened?
I don't know, man.
Why did I turn it off?
I don't know.
Because I wasn't sitting in the beanbag chair. That's why I usually turn it off when I sit in the beanbag chair.
Wow, excuse my apologies. Machine cranking up. Yeah, you hear that too?
Yep. Hey, Broadus, it's on me, bro. It's on me. It's on me.
It's on me.
Point him to the sky. It's on me. I got it.
No, no, man. No,
he's
it's on me.
I got right
no,
now.
No, no, no. No, no. I have to turn it off. I turn off the mic.
Yeah, because you're an adult.
I am.
Well, it was already off. You turned it on. You jumped the gun there.
Oh, yeah. That's what happened. I'm
a little
so
early,
sorry, man.
Just watch it. But it's
premature,
Brian.
A little premature.
Happens to the best of us.
There's that choppy Blue Chew ad that got me going there a little bit.
That commercial drives me crazy when he says, ladies, tell your man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, how many things could I actually tell my girl to go do to better herself?
Yeah.
She's just going to be happy about.
Hey, how about clean up after yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fellas, tell your wives about the soda weight loss.
Yeah. That's going to go great.
That's going to go over well.
Oh, man. Hey, start this thing off. I was at the OTA practice. God, I feel bad about that, Lucius. Sorry about that. Really, I did. I was at the practice today, and we had an offensive lineman catch a touchdown.
Was it the UFL guy?
No.
Was
it? It was Wolchuk's guy.
Beebe?
Cooper Beebe.
Yeah! It was like a wonderful trick play?
Sweet
or was
feet,
it
huh?
a fumble rooski kind of?
No, yeah, right. I got to change my undies now.
It was actually they were working on field goal protection. And they had a fire situation where it was like a kind
bad
of
snap.
Bad snap. And so Brian Anger. So they had this happen twice, by the way. Just trying to tell you what I'm watching.
Are these planned bad snaps or are they
this
just bad
just,
snaps?
This is like we're working on making sure everybody's alert at practice. Mm-hmm.
So center can catch the ball on a field goal?
He doesn't play. He was not playing center.
He's not the long snapper.
He's on the outside. So he goes out into the route. So he caught a touchdown. Pass, but a Johnny Cornelius on the second one.
Oh yeah,
did not.
He dropped it.
Did not. He looked. I'll say this about Cooper Beebe going out in the route. He looked good.
Fluid.
He looked good. He looked fluid. Look,
he's been working
he
with
turned,
Zach Martin.
Like found the ball. Like secured it.
High pointed it.
A Johnny Cornelius Hands? Didn't look like he like they need to reevaluate that one.
He can't be your fire.
He can't be the fire guy with the game on the line.
Okay.
Kind of guy. But
Cooper Beebe's got
Cooper
it.
Cooper Beebe has it. He absolutely
yes.
has it right there. Back to Joe Milton being with the twos. I know we've had some stuff. Him and Sam Howell have been switching off with each other there. What was interesting today, we got a lot of Jadon Blue. And I say this in Jadon Blue working on the screen game.
Love it.
Blue.
Love it.
That's a nice little wrinkle.
We opened up team period today with an attempted screen, but we defense was ready for it.
Okay. No fumbles?
No fumbles today.
Okay, good.
No fumbles. But a lot of Jadon Blue, a lot of throwing the ball to running backs, not just the screen stuff, but Blue had an opportunity, Moffa had an opportunity. And then Dominique Richardson, who I had to kind of look up. I didn't know who number 43 was.
That's the undrafted rookie free agent they signed? The running
Tulsa?
Back?
Tulsa?
Yeah, and was at Oklahoma State before that.
Okay, yeah. He, matter of fact, they had Joe Milton was in a situation where he was scrambling around, and then he threw the ball to Richardson. So all the backs today. I didn't see anything with Williams. I think they're keeping Williams in bubble wrap.
Yeah,
I think I saw Joe Hoyt put out that he sat out today. So you're not surprised.
George Pickens went through all the individual drills, did nothing in the team drills. They did a 7-on-7 period. We had another couple where we tried to hit those connections with Dak and CeeDee Lamb. One down the right side and one down the left side. Both of those were incomplete today. And matter of fact, in coverage on those was rookie Devin Moore.
Cool.
So Devin
good coverage
Moore,
or yeah, just bad
coverage.
Balls?
No, good coverage. All where Lamb had a shot for the ball and was running vertically, and Devin Moore was going with him and was able to knock the ball out of his hands. So good job by Devin Moore to be able to do that. I noticed Michael Trigg today, the tight end from Baylor. Can I ask you guys this question about Michael Trigg?
Please.
Why does Wolchuk love him so much?
I do have an affinity for him.
Are we overrating the guy?
Ah, Maybe.
Walchuk probably is because he loves
it. I mean, I had this question for Vach Lombardi this morning on the Doing All Right. And I asked him, I go, is there a player that we're hyping up right now that we're going to regret the hype?
Okay. I don't think it's overrating
and
him.
And I'm not saying. I'm just saying is that there seems like to me, and by the way, Schoonmaker had a catch today.
What?
In the practice.
Well, that's surprising.
All the tight ends had a catch in practice today.
Were they 2 yards down the field?
They were not throwing the ball down the field to the tight ends. It was not as good as you'd
like. Oh, there's another Croatia one. Just tied it again. What a beautiful shot.
Yeah.
Right. That was Musa.
Was that?
That's our FC Dallas guy, yeah.
So this guy plays for FC Dallas?
Yeah, he's really good.
I think he's got like 11 goals already.
He's a big-time header guy.
So that means he's going to be FC Dallas for at least another 2 weeks, and then he'll be playing it at AC Milan or
the Hunt
Barcelona.
Family is counting their money right now after this tally.
I wonder if this is going to get offsides, and they're going to call this one back.
No. You can't call that offsides.
They did yesterday in a match where like the arm was just over, and they called it back. But this one might – it doesn't look like they're calling for VAR.
So it was a chip over the defensive line, a header back to Musa, and a volley. That's a hell of a goal.
What is that? Pickford? Yeah. Is that the goalie for England?
It split the legs of the defender.
What
too,
the hell kind of effort was that?
That was bad.
That was.
So here's like I don't think it's overrating. I think what it is pointing out.
Are we putting too much love to it?
He just has a skill set that nobody else in the tight end room has.
Yeah, I get that.
So that's really what it is. It's that he's a guy that if you can unlock him, that is a chess piece to what you're lacking in the rest of your room. There's a chance he is a practice squad guy that doesn't even make the roster. Yeah. And he's not a blocker. And I think I've been very clear on that. But just as a receiving threat, the dude has special skills and talent that my hope is he can unseat a Luke Schoonmaker and steal his spot. He's got to go out there and prove it. There's a reason he was an undrafted rookie free agent. I talked about it during the draft. Like the stuff I heard from Baylor was not good. There might be reasons, personal reasons, why that they weren't. And him working with the Cowboys and kind of getting some maybe help and the right support for some of that stuff might go a long way. But I do think he's got the talent and potential to where he could be a key special piece that they lack talent-wise in that room.
Yeah, it's like Princess Leia, help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're our only hope. You know, that's what Michael Trigg is.
Yeah.
When you're looking for a guy that can get downfield and make big plays, which, you know, they need desperately. They need him and Jaden Blue to give you that big play speed element. I think the Rams have 8 tight ends. 6 of them on the actual roster, 2 undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
They're looking to find anybody that's 250 pounds that can bolt like a Wookiee.
Yeah.
Because they know how many safeties and defensive backs are going to be on the field. They're like, have fun matching up with this if you want to go small. And I think the Cowboys really need to find that player. And so I'm with Walchuk. You know, just it's the only guy that could potentially do that for you.
Well, I saw every wide receiver but DJ Rogers catch a ball today.
Okay.
Trigg caught one, Fant caught one, Schoonmaker caught one, Ferguson caught several, and Span Ford had some catches today. It was kind of a tight end's day.
Did you notice Downs doing anything where they had him?
I didn't. I noticed where Downs was playing. He was playing in the slot. He wasn't playing as the free safety. And I'm trying to think where he had a – did I have him in coverage here? I wrote down a bunch of things about different guys, but no, I did not have him in anything that I particularly noticed. I just know that he was playing in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, like I say, Ezeraka was working through individual drills today.
Okay.
So he wasn't over with Britt Brown and those guys, but he wasn't part – of what they were doing with team stuff. But he was over there working through the individual drills. I kind of feel like this is going to be – he just needs to keep doing those things. A lot of slant work today, a lot of route work with the running backs. I was trying to kind of get a bead on what was going on with – oh, I mentioned about the – with Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
They have Lawrence starting on that. He's starting on that as that right outside linebacker, and then you got Gary playing as the left guy.
Starting in the spot that hopefully Ezeraka would be at if he were healthy and playing.
I wonder if there's going to be a situation where, if Ezeraka doesn't get back in quick enough, that maybe that they just let's see what we got this guy.
That's why I would like to add somebody else to that room. And it's not.
Well, Dawson was trying to help us do that.
Yeah,
right?
And it's not a knock on Malachi Lawrence. It's maybe a little bit of, I had the high expectations, you did as well, for Donovan Ezeraku.
Yeah.
And then I think we realized, like, it's probably not the best bet to go into a season like that, right? These rookies, everyone's different. Maybe Malachi Lawrence hits the ground running, and he's awesome. Maybe he is the James Pierce Jr. of last year, and he's the rookie with 10 sacks. But I think that might be a flawed way to head into the season. Just banking on that production.
Just be Pierce on the field, not off the field, please,
right.
Malachi.
Yeah.
And my final thing is, as I saw, it seems to be they're rotating the Mike linebacker position more than the other linebacker, the other linebacker with where D. Winters is playing. But Justin Barron seems to be the guy that they've been working behind Winters. Right.
It's a good
now
description for the linebacker room.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Barron is all hell.
So that's what we saw today. I think tomorrow is going to be a walkthrough practice. It's only an hour, so there probably won't be anything. I think they're going to cut them loose after they get
cut
done tomorrow. So,
I mean, old Jay Jeezy, what would he do? He'd bring in some kids, have a camp, make a fun day out of it.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett.
We used to have that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
some
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Lemonades.
All righty. Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you, guys.
That's terrific.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Brian brought us Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. And, yeah, Cowboys minicamp has pretty much concluded on that note. We'll see you in Oxnard, sir. We got a football fix coming up, old Chuck.
Let's do it. We got a Cowboy great talking about Christian Parker, the Soresby fit, and let's rank the NFL quarterbacks by their number of bad games. A fun exercise next in the nation.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.